Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hope you're having a joyous, glorious day. Today I want to discuss with you a well-known parable, the parable of the talents. I'm calling this Parable of the Talents and the Unprofitable Churchianity Evangelicals. I want to talk about this parable today, because I've been talking about this with various people. A single sister that takes my teaching, and some brothers that I've talked to about this, and also I've been refuting a young evangelical novice that's writing against my teachings. So a lot of this stuff has been on my mind as I've been out witnessing all year. I've had a lot of encounters and with brethren, helping them through these things, and with some enemies of the true gospel and of the faith. So I want to talk about this parable of the talent, and I want to discuss what I think is a very different angle at the end of this teaching that most people would never really aim at specifically. So let me read to you the parable of the talents, and then we're going to discuss it, okay? Matthew 25:14-30. Here we go. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents, and went and traded with the same, and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he that had received 2, also had gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and dug it in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came in and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I soweth not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest to therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received my own with usury. Take ye therefore the talent from him, and give it unto the one to the which hath 10 talents. For unto every one hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, what a parable. Here we have the master, that's representing God, giving servants some resources, in this case some money, some talents, and he expects a return. That's a key part of the parable. This could be money, but more so, we should look at it as time, talents, wisdom, truth, all the things that God gives to us from the kingdom. How are we using it instead of just sitting on them in sluggard ways, playing it safe, doing nothing? Now, again, that's the moral of the parable. And we see the ones that did well were rewarded. The one that was sluggish, he was punished brutally. What are we doing with what God has entrusted to us? Do we grow it? Are we working at it to expand His kingdom? That is really the lesson of the parable of the talents. But now, I want to take a little bit different angle. It's still true, but it's just a little different. And I want to make it timely for today, what I was telling you about, dealing with a single sister that takes our teaching, and some brothers, and a false evangelical novice that I've been refuting. We've experienced all kinds of evangelical mindsets that say, Jesus did it all, we don't have to do anything, we don't have to obey, all we do is believe and trust in Him, and we all get to go to heaven. You know, it's the lie of the filthy rags theology. Go look up my article at don'tperish.com on the teaching blog, Filthy Rags from Isaiah. They tell you anything you do good is all filthy rags. No, that's a lie. Isaiah was talking to hypocritical Israel. We know God looks upon the righteousness of His servants as a good thing. Look up my article. Look up my articles on righteousness. We are to be righteous workers for Christ. Don't listen to their evangelical lies and heresy. So they'll tell you, it's just believe, and Jesus did it all. You don't have to do nothing. Well, I want to talk about this. Jesus says that we are to produce much fruit. John 15, this is a command. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Our lives are supposed to be fruitful, like the guy that made 5 talents out of 5, like the guy that made 2 talents out of 2, not like the guy that did nothing with what he was given by his master. So looking back at this parable, God expected a return on what he left with his servants. In this case, it was money. What else does God give us in our faith life that he expects us to manage, work at, and bring a return? I put together a short list. It's not complete. There could be many, many, many more. But these are some of the very important ones that God gives us and what the Word says about it. Ready? Let's go into this. And then we're going to get to some really important ones at the end that focus on those churchianity, evangelical, unprofitable servants. Let's look at this first one. Time. God gives us time. Amen. He gives us life. How are we working it, using it? Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time for the days are evil. We're commanded to redeem the time. How about meekness, right? Jesus was meek. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and longsuffering. We're to be putting on meekness, right? Power under control, qualities that Jesus had, were to be expanding them in our lives for the kingdom. How about right judging? Matthew 7:1-5. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou mote in the brother's eye, but consider not the beam that's in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Right? We're supposed to be propagating good judgment, right judgment. Amen? How about goodness? Is God good? He is. Romans 15:14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to also admonish one another. How about long-suffering? Has God shown long-suffering to you and me and mankind throughout history? He has. Are we to propagate it? Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. We're to be long-suffering as God is, amen? We're to propagate that in our life. We're to manufacture, produce that in our life. How about love, right? God is love. He sent Christ, right, to redeem. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we're to have love for each other. We're to be propagating, producing love in our life because God's given us love. How about forgiveness? Has God offered us forgiveness because of what Christ has done? Mark 11:26. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Well, there's one to consider. We don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. We need to be producing forgiveness in our lives. How about being spotless and blameless? Was Jesus spotless and blameless? He was. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye are found, be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. We're to strive to be without spot and blameless. Not to just drift through this faith life going, Jesus did it all. God's looking to see what he can produce in us as profitable servants. You want to be a profitable servant, or you want to be an unprofitable servant? Think of that unprofitable servant and what was his destination. Not very good, was it? No. So now these next ones, I purposely take aim at the churchianity, evangelical theology, and the men who say, we don't do anything for salvation, just grace alone, faith alone. God knows we're all a bunch of sinners. Doesn't matter what you do. God expects nothing from us. Just believe in Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. Really? So God's not going to require something from what he's given to you? That's not what the parable of the talent says. These next ones, next things I've listed, are sorely lacking in the churchianity evangelical types. Ready? Holiness. Is God holy? He is. 1 Peter 1:14-15. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves as the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all your manner of conversation. We're to strive to be holy, producing holiness in our lives to glorify God and prove that we're of him. How about Hebrews 12:14? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Are you producing holiness in your life for Christ? Something to consider. How about truth? Is Jesus the way, the truth? Right? John 14, sure he is. How about 3 John 1:4? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Are you walking in truth? Evangelical churchianity, pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter, feminization, worldliness, pride, vanity, false gospels, false doctrine, reading false teachers. Yeah, supposed to be propagating truth for the glory of God, and that's the return he's looking for from his servants. How about 2 Peter 1:12? Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. You working to establish yourself in the truth of God? That's part of our profitableness to God, being profitable servants. How about obedience? One of my favorite verses, Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, he, talking about Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Are you striving to obey Christ to be a profitable servant? Or are you just saying you're a sinner and you're going to enter heaven as a sinner and Jesus is going to cover all your sin? No, the Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. He's looking for you to produce the fruit of obedience in your life if you truly are born of him. How about Philippians 2:12? Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yep, we're to obey and to work out our salvation. That's being profitable unto God. How about grace? There's a good topic. How about grace? Is God full of grace? Yep. By grace you're saved, right? Absolutely. We could not enter into eternity without God offering it freely through Christ. We can't get there on our own righteousness. We need Christ's perfect righteousness. So God is grace. Is he looking for grace in us? Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. That's a great verse that we all need to consider. How about 1 Peter 4:10? As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as servant, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're to be propagating grace in our lives to be profitable servants. Amen. How about faith? There's a big one. Is God faithful? Does God give us a measure of faith? Yeah, the Bible says he does. Hebrews 10:23. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Are you holding fast to the faith? See, God gives us faith. So it's not a work when he gives us faith, but you know what? Then we then work at our faith to hold on to it, to preserve in it, to remain, to be steadfast. That's being a profitable servant, not just saying, well, I kind of believe Jesus and I ain't doing anything else for his kingdom. I'm not fully following his word and ways. I'm just expecting to go to heaven because I believe. No, the Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. How about 2 Timothy 4:7 about faith? Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So God gives us faith, but it's up to us to keep it. We're in a covenant. We're in a blood covenant. Jesus did his part, clearly. We have a part to do. As in a marriage, husband has a part to do, wife has a part to do. If they don't both do their part, the covenant is destroyed. Yeah, same thing with us. Jesus did his part. Our part is what in this covenant? To be a profitable servant. Yeah, I hope you're seeing my point here. How about repentance or repenting? Does God show us what repentance is and call all men to repent? He does. How about repentance? Revelation 3:3. Jesus said, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Jesus calls us to repentance. This is to the body of Christ he was talking about. How about 2 Peter 3:9? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God calls all men to repent, and then he expects them to act in repentance. You must do something. That's what you do to be a profitable servant. You don't want to be an unprofitable servant. Remember his final destination. Cast out into weeping and gnashing of teeth. How about righteousness? This has been a topic of late. Is God righteous? He is. Does he expect us to be righteous? Oh, the evangelical churchy entity types tell you, oh, your righteousness is all as filthy rags to God. Well, you know what? We do need Christ's perfect righteousness for salvation. I preach that all the time. But you know what? If we have the Spirit of God in us and we have the hope of salvation, we should be living righteous lives and clinging to righteousness for his glory. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Wow, what a verse. So we're to be seeking righteousness out of a pure heart. That's part of being a profitable servant, right? I keep saying it over and over again. But the slothful, unprofitable servant doesn't pursue righteousness. He just kind of sits on whatever God kind of handed him. How about 1 John 3:10? In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. That is a powerful verse. Are you not striving for righteousness, that which is right before God in all ways? How you talk, how you act, how you dress, how you live, how you celebrate holidays that are pagan or not, how you love the brethren, the gospel you preach, people you take teaching from, what you do with your spare time, recreation, entertainment, sports, movies, politics. That's not righteous activity, okay? That's of the world, and it makes you God's enemy, James 4:4. So righteousness is something we're to propagate to be a profitable servant. All these things I've listed are qualities, truths, they're things that God gives us, and we need to be about them, walking in them, living them out, increasing them, to make sure that we're a profitable servant unto our Master, the Most High. Amen. Now, remember about this parable I just read to you. Jesus himself is telling this parable. This is Jesus that everyone says is loving and forgiving and full of grace, and he doesn't judge sin. And what did he say happens to the sluggard, sinful, wicked servant that did nothing with what his master gave him? He cast him into outer darkness, into weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's called wrath, folks, and that's what's coming for the people that are unprofitable servants. This parable looks a lot like faith and works, does it not? It does. It's another proof from God's word that backs up faith and works go together. Now, this is a common issue, as I said, with churchianity, evangelical types. Their main concern, now hear me here, their main concern is getting to heaven. But we see God's focus and true servants' focus is being profitable daily, growing their fruit, much fruit, so that we can glorify him. It's fruit that we know him. We glorify him that ransomed us and bought us with Christ's blood. We're not just sitting there dreaming about heaven as we live like the world and live in false doctrine. No, we are doing good, righteous, pure, holy, true things, striving to be a good, profitable servant for our Master. Now, I know some saints doing this. If you're striving every day to have a return on what God's given you, holiness, obedience, truth, all these qualities, purity, I honor you today. Well done, saints. The Bible says, well done, good and faithful servant. But to all of you else, all the rest of you, which is most of you, if you claim Christ and you're not striving every day in the faith to bring a return to God, holiness, righteousness, grace, truth, purity, if you're not striving every day in all your ways to walk in truth, leave false teachers, leave false pagan holidays, leave pride and vanity in your dress and the culture, leave politics, leave entertainment, yes, be willing to separate from people that are sinful, that claim the name of Christ. If you're not willing to do all these things, are you being a profitable servant? How will it be for you at your death or his return? I fear for you, because the churchianity evangelical people I know are really just unprofitable servants. Most of them not even born of God. But we'll give it, and I'll just say here, at best they're unprofitable servants. And look what happened to him. Cast out into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. A point to remember here, that servant was fearful. He did nothing with what the master gave him. He was called wicked, which means sinful, and he was called slothful. That word slothful in the Greek is okeinos. It means sluggish. I know most people today that call themselves Christians are sluggish in truth, holiness, obedience, righteousness, coming out of the world, coming out of all false ways. They live as sluggards. This parable should be a wake-up call to them. There's hope for you all. I love you all. That's why I do these teachings, to edify and lift up the true saints and encourage them, and to call you false saints, false converts, you unprofitable servants, and the people of the world. Repent and obey the gospel. That's your only hope. The biblical gospel. Faith in Christ, shed blood, death, burial, resurrection. Repent of all your false ways, the world, churchianity, pride and vanity. Be born again by the Spirit of God. The fruit, which you should produce much of per Jesus, is holiness, obedience, being a profitable servant, and enduring in that to the end. That's the gospel path to eternal life. There's hope for you if you will strive in that. Go compare yourself to the profitable servants in Matthew 25 and the unprofitable servant, and you can see what your future is going to be. I trust that this has blessed you all. I had fun putting this together. Not fun. It was enjoyable putting this together because it taught me some things about my own life and what I need to focus on and do better at to be a profitable servant to my Lord and my Master. Let's all take stock. Ponder this parable. What are we doing every day? And all the things He's given us to show a return for our glorious Master, King, Lord, Savior, Creator, till we go to see Him at our death or He comes back for us. So many areas we can work on. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. This has been Brother James. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Every day, just about, pouring out truth, articles, audios, sisters' blogs, because we want you to be a profitable servant. We don't want you cast into outer darkness as an unprofitable servant. Let us know how we can help you. We love you all. Till next time, have a glorious day, and may our God be praised.